Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Today we're starting a brand new series called The Last Words of Jesus. And we're going to begin this series by looking at the first of the seven sayings of Jesus as he was hung on that cross for a period of about 6 hours. I don't know if you know, but Jesus uttered seven important statements, and we're going to look at not all of them. We're going to look at three of them. And today, the first one we're going to look at is the first one that Jesus said from that cross, and that is this: "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." Now, how many of you know what flower this is? This is a lotus flower. Now, lotus flowers are a favorite among the Asian people, especially Chinese people. You know why? Because of what they represent. You know, lotus flowers grow pretty much in the mud, you know, so it gives people hope that anything is possible. And when you put this amazing, beautiful flower against a dirty, dark backdrop of muddy waters, the beauty is even more striking. It's like putting a diamond against a black velvet cloth to show off the shine of the diamond. Now, when you look at the statement of Jesus, when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing," it seems like a regular statement to us, right? But when you put this statement against the dark backdrop of human sin, then you will realize how amazingly powerful this statement is from Jesus. But at face value, it seems just like a regular statement. After all, it was spoken by Jesus. We kind of expected it. You know, after all, Jesus talked about forgiveness all the time, to the point that the disciples were worried, like, "Jesus, are you serious about this forgiveness thing? Because you seem to be talking about it all the time." And in Matthew 18, Jesus drove his point home by talking about forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And then Peter, at the end of this, approached Jesus and asked Jesus this question that we all want to know as well. And Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me?" And then Peter threw out a number: 7 times? Now, you got to understand the context here, because there's a book for Jewish people called the Talmud. The Talmud contains the teachings of the rabbis during the time of Jesus. And the Talmud says you need only to forgive people up to the maximum of 3 times. That's what the Talmud teaches. 3 times, and then you're scot-free. You don't need to forgive this person the 4th time. All right? So Peter, being Peter, loud-mouthed Peter, he said, "I can do better than 3. I'm going to double it. And to make it even better, I'm going to put a cherry on top, make it 7. So Peter was like showing Jesus his shiny badge of, holiness, if you like. You know, "Jesus, look at me. I think I can do better." The Talmud says I need to forgive people 3 times. Judas right there, he can't even forgive people 1 time. But I can do better. I think I can forgive people up to 7 times. Is that good, Jesus? Is that a good answer? And Peter was expecting Jesus to say, "Good boy, Peter, you got the idea. Well done, man." Or maybe Peter was expecting Jesus, "No, you don't need to go overboard. I think if you forgive people 3 times, that's enough." Actually, Peter was expecting a commendation from Jesus based on his question. So it was actually a question to set him up for success. And then to his surprise, Jesus' reply actually shook him to the core. And it should shake you to your core as well. Because Jesus said this, instead of commending Peter, he said, "No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but I want you to forgive someone who offends you 70 times 7. And then Jesus went on to give this parable, this story that illustrates his point. And the parable is often misunderstood by people. And Jesus said this: "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars." Some commentators say it's worth about $100 million of our money today. And then the story continues. But this servant couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please, be patient with me, and I will pay it all," which is impossible because nobody owed that much money in that time. Nobody has ever even seen that much money. But again, this is just a made-up story to make a point. In verse 27, then his master was filled with pity for him, and then he released him and forgave his debt. In any parable, okay, I told you this before, you always need to find out in the story who represents God, who represents us. In this instance, and it's as always the case, a master usually represents God or our Heavenly Father. So you can read verse 27 this way. And then God, our Heavenly Father, was filled with pity for us, and he released us and forgave all of our debt. That's what God does for you. And the story continues. Verse 28. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. So compared to his $100 million debt, this is pocket change, okay? This is nothing. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. And then he said, almost exactly word for word, as what he said to the king, to the master, "Be patient with me and I will pay it," he pleaded. Now, at this point, you would expect, okay, because he's been forgiven $100 million, you think he would forgive this fellow servant who only owed him a couple of thousand bucks, right? But as Jesus always does, his ending always surprises people. In verse 30, Jesus said, but his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. This is where a lot of preachers like me, a lot of Bible teachers will tell you to do something based on this story. And this is where I believe they got it wrong. A lot of people got this wrong. Usually the moral lesson that we get from this teaching of Jesus is this. You must forgive people. You must forgive others because God has already forgiven you. A lot of Christians that I know, including myself, feel very guilty about this verse because what we are told is this: Jesus has already forgiven you. He died for you on the cross. How can you not forgive other people? Jesus has already forgiven you millions. How can you not forgive only thousands that people owed you? You should be ashamed of yourself. You must forgive others because God has already forgiven you through Jesus. A lot of Christians who are unable to forgive people, we feel guilty because of this verse. And to make matters worse, if you don't think that's bad enough, all right? Pastors like me will combine Matthew 18 with Matthew chapter 6. This is the word of Jesus when Jesus said, if you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. And this is the verse that scares all of us. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, not only do we feel guilty for not being able to forgive others, now we feel afraid. Now we are scared. Oh my goodness, you know, what if I can't forgive people? What's going to happen to me then? How do I know if I have sincerely forgiven everyone who has wronged me? What if I miss a person? Does that mean God will not forgive me? You know, a lot of Christians are so scared based on this verse that God, the Heavenly Father, has not forgiven them or will not forgive them because they just, no matter how hard they try, they find it difficult to forgive people who have offended them. Maybe they're able to forgive three or four, but there's this one person that they just can't forgive. There's this one person they just can't let go, you know, and they're afraid, like, oh man, I'm doomed. Okay, if that's the case, I don't think my Heavenly Father can forgive me. And I don't know what's wrong with me. How come I can't forgive this other person? All right. So what does Jesus mean when Jesus said this? Because, you know, this is not good news, right? Think about it. This is not good news. This is actually a bad news. This is far from good news. So in order to understand what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, we need to go back again and let's look at what happened with Peter at the end of Jesus' teaching on forgiveness. When Peter said, how many times should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? Let me just ask you this question, okay? Let's be realistic here. How many of you can forgive someone who sins against you 7 times? Can any of you in this room honestly say, if someone, for example, hit your kid, all right, intentionally, your kid comes home crying, and you say, I forgive you, and then he does it again the second time, and then he does it again the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth, is this realistic? 7 times forgiving the same person who sins against you? And if you think this is not realistic, all right, how about Jesus' response to this statement from Peter? Jesus said, no, that's not enough. 7 times is not enough. You need to forgive this person 70 times 7 times. If you are a literalist, that means you interpret the Bible literally. Okay, let's say you are right. Let's say you interpret the Bible literally. That means you need to forgive this person 490 times. So you need to keep track, right? You've wronged me 471 times. You're close, buddy. 20 more. That's it. No more forgiveness for you. Is that true? Now, at this point, a lot of Bible teachers got it right. They say, no, what Jesus is saying here is you need to forgive people with no limit. That's what it means. Because that's what 70 times 7 means, is number of perfection. That means you need to forgive people without limit. And to which, like, okay, I mean, we understand the commandment. We understand the requirement. But again, who can do this? All right? And then Jesus gave this parable to illustrate his point. And the point where I got it wrong is this. I used to think the parable is teaching me because God has forgiven me, I must forgive others. Whereas the actual point of the parable is this. Even after you've been forgiven much, okay? Even after you've been forgiven much by God, you still cannot forgive others the way God has forgiven you. Let me ask you. How many times have you offended God because of your sins? If I count my sins, okay, I don't know about you, but I think I've offended God more than 70 times 7, maybe to the power of 3, if not more, okay? And every single time, let me tell you, every single time God forgives me. Now let me ask you, for those of you especially who have received forgiveness from God through Jesus, can you honestly say, having been forgiven much by God, can you honestly say you can forgive people even 7 times? Can you? I don't think so. So what is Jesus' point? Jesus' point is very simple. That's why when you interpret the Bible, you know, I don't want us to be like holy and mighty and think like, oh, like this is what we should do. Be realistic, because God asks you to, you know, use your brain, use your mind, use your common sense, right? Until that common sense doesn't line up with the Word of God. So I believe the teaching of Jesus is very simple. Jesus is saying this. Hey, Peter, you need to do this 70 times 7. When you forgive others, you need to forgive them without limit. And the response that Jesus wanted from Peter is this. In that case, Jesus, because remember, Peter was trying to show his badge of holiness. What Peter should have said when Jesus said 70 times 7, Peter should have said, in that case, God, I can't do it. I'm doomed. I can't forgive people that many times. To which Jesus would say, if that's what Peter had said, Jesus would say, that's right. Now you got it. Now you understand. Now you know that you're not God. You're not able to forgive people that many times. Which is why when you go back to Matthew 6, you got to understand, you got to read this in context. Matthew 6 is part of what we call a Sermon on the Mount, right? Matthew 5 to 7 is called a Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is Law 2.0. The Sermon on the Mount is Moses 2.0. What Jesus is trying to do, Paul, the Apostle Paul said this, the purpose of the law is like a mirror to show you that you're not perfect, to show you that you cannot meet all the demands of the law. You know, if you want to get righteous by God, with God, by obeying the law, and Jesus in Matthew 5-7, he just keeps saying, like, your righteousness have to exceed that of the Pharisees. Your righteousness has to be so much more than the righteous Pharisees. And if you know anything about the Pharisees, the religious teachers of the time, they are so righteous. Man, they tried to obey all the commandments, memorize all the scriptures, you know, did all the right things. And then Jesus said, no, that's not enough. You gotta be more righteous than the Pharisees. You think it's enough not to kill? No. When you're angry with your brother, you have already killed him. You think it's enough for you not to commit adultery? No. When you look at a woman who is not your wife with lust, you already committed adultery. You know, Jesus put the standard so high, right? Why? For what purpose? To show people that they cannot meet the demand of the law, which is why Jesus came to our world in the first place. Because now, with the coming of Jesus, we are no longer live under the law. Now we live under a new system, which is the system of grace. And Jesus said, what you cannot do, that's what I came to do. That's why, you know, another principle of Bible interpretation is the Bible cannot contradict itself. This is not the gospel. This is a killer verse, all right? This doesn't bring life, this brings death. And for some of you, maybe you have not been offended all that much, but think about those who have been offended much by people. My good friend Paul Ellis, he's from New Zealand. He wrote this 2 days ago on his Facebook page. And to me, this is like amazing. Exactly the verse that we are talking about today. And Paul Ellis said, this is definitely not grace. This is not the gospel. This is the law. Paul Ellis said this. You're going to love this. What do we say to those who have been raped and abused? What do you say to a young child who has been molested? Oh, sweetie, you need to forgive that evil man, otherwise God won't forgive you. Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? That's not grace. That's the condemning ministry of the law in full bloom. How do you forgive the unforgivable? You can't. And then if you can't, you're in trouble because the law condemns you as an unforgiver because you need to forgive people. Now you're beginning to recognize your need for grace. That's exactly what Jesus did to a rich young ruler who asked Jesus, what do I do to get eternal life? And Jesus said, sell all your possession. That's not how you get eternal life. But Jesus was exposing that rich young ruler that, you know, you can't meet all the requirements of the law. You can't even part with your wealth. So you see, sometimes Jesus does this to point to people that they cannot do it. They cannot. Which is why Jesus came. That's why what Jesus said here, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing, is very, very powerful. You are not as good as you think you are. I'm not as good as I think I am. And Jesus said, it's okay. It's okay. That's what I came here for. That's why I came to die for. Forgive them, God. Forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing. You know what's good news? This is good news, okay? The gospel is not God will forgive you only if you forgive others. The gospel is God has already forgiven you. And that's why we need to learn to forgive others. We need to learn to forgive others. Not for the sake of God, for your own sake. Have you heard, you know, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting your enemy to die? It's actually more than that. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and give it to all your friends and family members, right? And expecting your enemy to die. Because when you harbor bitterness, you know, anger inside you, man, you're not going to be a pleasant person to be around. If you are single, let me tell you, even though you're attractive, but if you harbor bitterness and anger, you're not going to look as pretty as you could, all right? You need to let go. You're actually bringing poison with you. The reason why some people can't forgive, I only have limited time, but for those of you who have yet to experience the forgiveness from God through Jesus, I want to challenge you this morning. Trust Jesus. Believe in Jesus. You can come to Him as you are. His death on the cross has already paid for every offense that you could ever make. against your fellow man, against God even. I mean, nothing could be worse than putting Jesus on the cross. And Jesus has already said from the cross, Father, forgive them. Who is them? Not just the Roman soldiers who were there at the time. Them is you. Them is me. Them is everybody. Father, forgive them. Because all of us, humanity, we don't know what we are doing. And that's why Jesus came. So if you have experienced the forgiveness of God, I think it will make it easier for you to be able to forgive others. Obviously, you can't give what you don't have. Unless you have experienced forgiveness yourself, it's going to be tough for you to forgive other people. But for those of you who are already followers of Jesus Christ, some of you still find it difficult to forgive others. Maybe that one person, that one uncle, your father, your mom, maybe it was your cousin. I don't know who it was, but you just find it difficult for you to forgive, even though you understand that you need to forgive, even though you understand Christ has already forgiven you much. Maybe it's because you misunderstand what forgiveness is. A lot of people I find, they don't really understand what forgiveness is or what forgiveness is not, okay? So very quickly, I'm going to run through what it is and what it is not. Forgiveness is not an emotion. I mean, nobody feels like forgiving, all right? If you wait until like, you know, let me feel like, if I feel like forgiving him, then I will. But I don't feel like it, so I won't. No, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Forgiveness is a decision. You know, when Jesus was hung on that cross, think about this with me, okay? Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. Don't forget that. He's 100% man. When he said these words, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing, blood was coming to his face, streaming down his face from the crown of thorn that was on his head. As he was saying this, nails were already on his hands and his feet. And his body was broken from all the whipping, all right? Blood coming from all of his body. Now, how many of you have ever experienced extreme pain in your life? When you experience extreme pain, what do? Do you speak blessing or do you speak curses normally? Right? Ask those mothers who give birth or, you know, like, you don't say nice things, let me tell you, when you are in pain. So Jesus, if you ask Jesus, Jesus, do you feel like forgiving these enemies of yours from that cross? If you ask Jesus, he didn't feel like doing it. But to Jesus, that's what he came to earth for. It was a decision for him. All right? Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. Number two, forgiveness is not dependent on the offenders. These people, they didn't ask forgiveness from Jesus. The Roman soldiers didn't forgive Jesus too. Because that's another thing about Bible interpretation. The Bible cannot contradict itself, right? How can... Unless you forgive others, the Heavenly Father will not forgive you. And yet, on the cross, the Roman soldiers didn't forgive Jesus, you know, for whatever offense that Jesus thought was, you know, what people thought Jesus was doing that made him worthy to be nailed to that cross. They didn't ask for forgiveness, and yet, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. So, forgiveness is not dependent on people asking you, but it all depends on you. It's up to you, okay? And then third, forgiveness is not saying it's okay. Forgiveness is not saying you did nothing wrong. No, you acknowledge that what that person did was bad, it was hurtful. You acknowledge that. But forgiveness is saying you don't owe me anything anymore, even though what you did hurt me, all right? And then next, forgiveness is not forgetting what happened in the past. I can't forget what happened. No, you don't have to forget what happened, okay? But forgiveness is remembering what Christ has done for you that enables you to give and extend that same grace to people who have offended you. And then finally, forgiveness does not change the past, but forgiveness gives you back your future. All right? Someone once said, forgiveness is the only prison that locks and unlocks from the inside. Do you understand what it means? It is the only prison that locks and unlocks from the inside. That means it's up to you. You know, you think you're imprisoning that offender when you refuse to forgive. But you know who you're putting in prison is you yourself. And only you can free yourself from this prison that you set for yourself. So, the reason why we need to forgive others is not because if we don't, God will not forgive us. No, we have already been forgiven. Colossians says, all our sins have been forgiven. All. That means past, present, and future. So I no longer ask for forgiveness of sin anymore even. I just thank God for the forgiveness. I did something wrong. You know, I immediately came to God and asked God, I did something really stupid, but I want to thank you for your forgiveness because God has already given that to me, all right? It's a given. Jesus did it all. He paid it all on the cross. So your ability or inability to forgive others will not stop God from forgiving you. God has already forgiven you, but for your own sake, okay? For your own sake. God wants to free you. God wants to give you hope and a future. And only if you are able to draw from the forgiveness that you've already experienced, then you can forgive others. I think forgiving others because you must, there's no power in that. There's no power in that. That's a law. But forgiving others because you want to, because of what God has already done for you, there's a lot of power in that. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, nothing is impossible. God wants to give you a future. For those of you, again, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to challenge you today, okay? Today, you can pray on your own. Just say, God, I'm a sinner. I've offended you. I've offended my fellow men. I need your forgiveness. Thank you for paying the price, Jesus. I want to believe you. I want to receive this free gift of eternal life. And it's as simple as that. God will come to your life. And then you will be set free forever. And then you will spend eternity with God in heaven forever. That's the good news of Christianity. Christianity is not you doing something for God, but God who has already done something amazing for you through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.